Blog Talk Radio.
It's April 24th, 2022. Welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show. And we're here. We're almost live. Scotty, are you here?
Almost live. Okay. You know,
Scott's almost live, too. And we've got 41 people in the switchboard chomping at the bit. Welcome.
Press one to join us.
Yes, your keypad. Don't push one on your wife's forehead. Push one on your keypad. And
that was a good one.
Yeah, thank you. I am good. Let me get. Who might this be? I know who.
Good evening,
Adrian.
Good evening, all. How are you all this evening?
We're groovy.
On this fine 80-degree weather day.
Oh, I'm in my thong right now. My butt cheeks are sticking to my pillow.
Oh, boy.
I look like a couple of saggy pancakes.
You might be sagging, my friend, but mine ain't sagging.
Ooh.
Now, when we were at our get-together a couple of weeks ago, I don't want to bring this up, but Adrian was pushing back on me, if you know what I mean. I was right behind her. She's kind of bent over just a little bit. That felt good. That felt real good. My eyes
now. I'm going to take you to HR for sexual harassment.
You spank you want, honey.
Down front, please.
Yes, I have to talk to Miss Cinnamon.
That's all right. She already knows.
That's my HR person.
I said, my girl bent over and I found a groove. And I liked it.
Stop it.
I liked it. Can't help it, Scott. It felt good. Don't be jealous.
I know that's right.
Anyway, here we are, the 24th of April, moving right along. We got storms, so if we get knocked off the air because of the storms, severe thunderstorm warnings.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
It's dark. It's getting dark here.
Yeah, it is. I just noticed I need to turn a light on so I can see what the hell is going on.
Yeah, well, I call them my renters.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit Edison was here most of this past week changing the overhead wires. So.
Oh, okay.
We'll see if they did a good job.
I wish they would bury these damn lines.
Well, actually, our service is underground.
Y'all,
but,
yours?
You still have those overhead wires.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping they do the trick. And the generator don't pop on using more propane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I want to put out a reminder. I haven't did this in a while. Stop and don't call. Do not call the Medicare people off the TV or if they send you stuff through the mail. If you need to check on your benefits, those that's in the VBA, please call the benefit rep at the local or at the region.
Yes.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
they're bombarding us with that.
Well, I know. I got the other day from Atlanta, Michigan, about Medicare Plus Part C or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm blocked so many. I don't know how many phone numbers these people have. But they must have a bank because I blocked so many.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't give up.
No, they don't. And I keep, like, my cell phone, because I have to always tell my my brother, Jim,
mm-hmm.
just leave me a message, or even if you don't leave me a message, I'll see that you call.
Right.
Because half the time I don't look at the cell phone. But I put my cell phone on Do Not Disturb. And I don't get those calls. You know, they don't bother me.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, through your cell phone, you could, you know, put your cell phone on Do Not Disturb. If you have, like, family members that need to get in touch with you, all you have to do is hit the star, which is a favorite,
mm-hmm.
and they can get through. Your favorites can get through.
Oh, okay.
But all those other people, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that some time ago. Because they'll drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting between 8 to 10 phone calls a day. Emails. Regular
mail.
Mail.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. My house phone, which I do have, because my house phone and my cell phone have different area codes. So if I need to get in touch with the fire department or police department, I don't want to have to think about, oh, God, I've got to tell them that I'm not in that area or this one. So I keep a house phone so that I can dial 911 and they know exactly where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did with my house phone is I let the messenger box, the mailbox, fill up.
So
they can't even leave me a message. But I can look on the phones, at my house phones, I can look at them and see who called me. And I'll return the calls that way.
It took
a long time for that box to fill up, though.
Whew. Oh, yeah. There's 20. Mine holds 20 before it stops.
Oh,
20 little. Damn, but that's a lot to me.
Mine was over the one on the house. It's over 150.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it took a long time to get that box filled up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be a long time. And by the way, next Saturday night, I got something, two things I got to play for you. And I told everybody last night to remind me, so I'm going to remind you to remind me.
To remind, okay.
And hopefully I'll stay
away.
We'll do this early. Because they got into it last night.
Oh, boy. I heard Bianchi was going off. Oh, God, mm-hmm. He was going off. And I said, oh, I'm not listening to this. I clicked because I was already asleep.
No, you missed it. You missed it. Kathy dropped off and Daniel hung up. Kathy said, I never heard Yankees fight like that.
Yeah, well, I was somewhat tired yesterday.
I understand.
Writing letters and stuff, tire your mind out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, yeah. So, Scott, what you got for us?
This next 2 weeks, you need to stop at the Union Hall. And they'll give you a form. It's for resolutions for the con only.
Say that again, Scott. Say that again.
Okay. You need to stop the Union Hall and get a resolution paper for the Constitution only. For resolutions to the Constitution. Not resolutions to the contract.
Right.
I like to think I've paid attention a few times over the years, but I've never heard of a resolution for the Constitution. I'm wondering if that has something to do with what happened this last year.
No. We had resolutions. We wrote resolutions before.
Okay. Yeah, it seems
for the bargaining convention.
Isn't that where you put down what you like to see? You want more better benefits or better something. We used to fill those out at the truck plant, Scotty.
Oh, that's the contract. That's resolutions of the contract.
Oh, okay.
Resolutions for the Constitution is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. It kind of pisses me off because it's a whole bunch of writing, and I hope maybe they've changed it, but I doubt it. You have to write out what the old part says, and the page and all of that, and then you say what you want amended. You put in what you want amended.
Okay.
Or add it. So if there's nothing there on a subject, then you have to put it in that you want this put in as an article and a however. You'll see it all on the form.
Okay. I never heard of them.
Yeah, we turned in a bunch of them that would have been it was the bargaining convention, which took place, I think the date was April 2019. Mm. But it could have been sometimes in 2018 after the constitutional convention. And it was told to me because I didn't see the book that they gave to the delegates.
Right.
That there were next to none of the resolutions that had been written put into that resolution book for them to vote on.
Right. So Stephanie sent me all resolutions are returned in between April 25th, which is tomorrow, through Friday, May 6th. To the Union Hall only. Yeah, you'll have to go and get the piece of paper to write it on, or I'm sure they have a form. And then you have to take it back to Union Hall, and then they will be voted on in the May 15th Union meeting. And that'll probably be the last one for the year because you'll have, they usually do June, July, and August is all combined, right? So.
Right.
Anyway, and nominations for delegates starts May 9th, 10th, and 11th, 6:30 a.m. through 3:30 p.m. Elections for the delegate is June 7th through the 8th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
For who?
For delegates.
For what plant?
For what local?
598.
For the local. 598. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
598. So... thought that was a 24-hour.
Not very 20. Long.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got 10 a.m. If it starts at 10 a.m., you would bypass third shift. Oh, the 7th. 10 a.m. on the 7th to 10 p.m. on the 8th. That's what she sent me, so... But anyway, May 9th, 10th, and 11th, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks, that'll be time to go sign the books if you want to run for delegate.
So. Scotty, if you can, would you post something under the Solidarity Zone 1?
Yeah.
Stating that, I mean, if you have your postcard, did you receive a postcard from your local?
No, I did not.
Wow.
No, we don't. You guys either go online or something like that.
Well, I received a postcard from my local, which is Local 600. And,
okay.
The postcard has already been posted to the Zone 1. The postcard was posted to the Factory Whistle Show page.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'll be doing a reminder about the day that the voting day and times.
Right.
Wow, it's really something.
There you go.
About going to get the resolutions.
There, I sent that. It's already posted on Zone 1.
Very good.
Yeah.
That, you know, always trying to keep the information flowing so that others can, that do view that page, they could see that and maybe they'll pass it along.
Right. Right.
But, you know, it's just a little strange to me that you have to go pick up these resolution forms. This week, because this week is the 25th is tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. March 25th.
Right, and you just have this week, and they have to be turned in on what day?
Resolutions have to be turned in on, sorry, I'm looking.
That's okay.
Turned in starting tomorrow through Friday, May 6th. Union Hall only. And then they'll vote on those resolutions on the May 15th union meeting.
Yeah.
And so our vote, our voting day is the following week or the week of the 11th. It starts on the 11th.
For
delegates and general counsel.
Okay.
So, you know, you think you're going to keep my old ass running back and forth to that damn local? You out your mind.
It didn't look old to me. About pretty firm, as a matter of fact.
That's all right. You know, we'll be the same age in a couple of months here.
I know that's right.
But
I'm going to have another meetup and forget to tell the rest of them. Just me and you meet.
All right, that sounds good. But you know, I'm not all for driving that. That's 70 miles round trip for me, just to go get a piece of damn paper.
No, no, it'd be worth it. You know. You're coming this way.
I got to figure out if I can get somebody else to pick it up for me.
There you go. We can bribe.
I don't need the one because I can run off copies at home. But
we got a lot of switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, push one on your keypad and I'll get you on. Go ahead.
And we have a heart out at 8 o'clock tonight.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm trying to find out. There's a lot of stuff going on in our local, and it's hard to see how some of the stuff is going right now. Trying to make sense of it. We had some stuff going on with our chairman.
Okay.
And then there's some other stuff that's going on too. And I have tried to find the original post and it's failing me. Basically what happened in a nutshell was we were told from our chairman that he sends out electronically on the app for $5.98. That people wanted to go to a straight eight. Okay. And that's what he had said. Two days later, we get this piece of paper that I posted, choosing different times and stuff for straight eight. Never give us the option to keep it the way it was. Said people were upset. They'd seen skilled trades leaving straight eight, and people wanted that, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes up with a letter. And yeah, I think you posted that also.
Mm-hmm.
I know Brian did. And that's not what the letter said.
Okay.
I'm looking for his other response that he did behind that one. So somebody called him out 2 days ago. He said, so why did you lie?
Mm-hmm.
You specifically stated management was resistant to the idea of straight eights. Now you're saying that they've been pushing for it. I almost believed your letter of apology, but I remember that one little statement.
Mm-hmm.
And our chairman answered. He said, I didn't lie. Management was resistant to the agreement I had on the table for straight eights because my terms stepped on their rights under the national agreement. Once I got the terms I needed to protect the membership, I moved quickly. That was his answer.
Mm-hmm.
And with the letter itself, it goes into a little more detail. Let me see. There's been some, I'll read just part of it. There's been some reaction to straight eight schedule. I'd like to clarify and explain why this was done for the long-term benefits of the membership. The company has been requesting this schedule for quite some time, and I have been denying that request. With trade straight eight in the local contract, it created demand for the schedule on what I thought was an opportunity to satisfy both parties and gain a positive impact. I received as many requests from the members for the schedule as I received protests afterwards. Unfortunately, second shift employees losing the double time in the last half hour of the ninth hour was an oversight for sure. Not good, but certainly not as exaggerated as being depicted. The maximum loss for a full rate 3137 employee is $8.24 before taxes. You only lose the difference between 1.5 rate and 2.0 rate on the last half hour. Okay? That's all I'm saying. You only lose. It's still a loss. Anyway, I guess I'm going to keep going. The company is forced to pay eight locations and is discussing local leadership throughout the country. Thus far, we're the first volunteer. To explain what this is important. The first section he goes, company plans to keep a hot handoff with no paid overlap, letting you leave during the breaks, no tag, you're leaving the entire plant, and of course, commitment to not keep people 9 hours to cover absenteeism. These terms do not occur if the schedule is forced upon the local. Okay, so the second reason is our membership has been worried about our future in regards to Oshawa and EV. This has to be priority one for your leadership. Whether we like it or not, we are competing with Oshawa. And prior to all this happening, he said that, okay, well, we all know better. Anyway, and the company has been installing EV in locations that do not currently have profitable products, and they've been willing to give up anything to gain a future for their plant. We are the only logical location for the next generation of our truck, but what is beyond that is the question. I can sit back and play hardball with the company, and I will retire without impact. That's not what I'm about. I want our local to proceed well in the future. The decisions about EV product allocations are being made now for products made 10 years from now. Not for my benefit, but for the benefit of our youngest and future workers. We want to be part of that strategy. The company looks at the Arbor Report, and here comes some more bullshit. Sorry, folks. The company looks at the Arbor Report while determining product allocations. We were last in the Arbor coming out of T1. Whether we like it or not, it's a reality that we need to be at least competitive and not last. Over the last 2 years, we have made great progress in Arbor. The job cuts are within cycle time. The line speed increases improve those metrics. Unfortunately, product decisions are made today based on current metrics. If we don't do something, the allocations will pass us by. A small properly timed sacrifice can mean much more than large sacrifices when the allocations don't like. I lost my spot here. Current metrics. If we don't do something, the allocations will pass us by. A small properly timed sacrifice can mean much more than large sacrifices when there is no choice is present. As a result of this, General Motors executives will see Flint as being a great progress on metrics and willing to consider alternatives. This is what determines one location stays open over another. Lessons I've learned while gaining the new trim shop and other investments. Since I had what I felt was a lot of interest, I didn't expect the reaction to be so strong as it was. If I had anticipated it, I would have rolled it out very differently. This is how and why it came out and about, and wanted you to understand that the decision was not intended the way many portrayed it. You can still not like it. You can still be mad at me, but now you know why it occurred. In solidarity, Eric Walter, shop chairman, Local 598. Sounds like he's wanting to play partners with management. He come out and he says something about the Arbor Report and talking about, you know, product allocation and being competitive or whatever. It's like, we're the cash cow of the corporation right now, folks. We're the top 35, I believe top, somebody said 30. I believe somebody told me we're between 35 and 40% of the profits of the corporation are coming from our plant right now.
Yeah. Scott, we got some phone calls. Let me get, I think this is JJ or Carrie. And let me get 989. Hey, JJ. 989, you're also on.
Greetings to your rabble rousers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Paul.
Been a couple weeks. Well, I might confuse you because I finally dropped my landline. So coming through is a different number. But it sounds to me like he's trying to blame his own membership for the poor quality that management created. Nothing that goes on in a plant is anything that the membership has any control over. You don't have people standing there not doing their job and deliberately shipping repair. The quality issues are management's problem, and the chairman needs to get a backbone and stand up for his membership, you know, and throw the blame on management where it belongs.
Absolutely.
Right.
I've never worked with a single worker that wanted to put down a bad quality part or assembly down the line. Not one. Right. The only one that's ever done that is management.
Right.
That's called purposeful sabotage, and that's a fireable offense wherever you work.
Yeah. Well, they actually don't care about quality. They use the quality message to horsewhip you into working harder. They add to your job, give you unfair workload, and people pick up their pace to try to get the job done. It's just like this lunacy, this Kaizen or whatever they call it, where you got a team of 10 people and then you take a person out and let the workload adjust and people get their get their jobs done properly, and then they take another person on the team. You know, it's I think the reason this coming convention is so important is we got to reset the agenda of the UAW. The UAW's agenda has been to help management. They need to start helping their own membership.
Yes.
Well, you know,
yes.
The thing that gets me about his comment about the Harbor Report, he's either very ignorant or he's counting on the ignorance of the membership, one of the two, because the way that the Harbor Report is calculated, the membership has absolutely no impact on that whatsoever. That's all the engineering of the line and the downtime that the line worker has no control over. That is 100% management.
Almost all your downtime is caused by automated body shops and paint shops.
Right.
Well,
you also have breakdowns
in there.
Yes.
Pardon me?
You can't control a breakdown. Also,
no, you can't.
And I wanted to say good evening to JJ and Paul.
Good evening.
Also, everything is management driven. Because your JPHs and also your product numbers. So management is going to always push for numbers because their bonuses are based on how many days or how many weeks or whatever that they reach their production number goals.
Right.
That's not our problem.
The other thing, there's very little difference in quality between the plant at the top and the one at the bottom.
Right.
They make a big deal of it, but their qualities are practically the same.
Well, quality is our job, and if we don't, we're supposed to be producing a quality part.
Sure.
If we have issues and we know we can't produce a quality part, we are supposed to actually stop. Because that's your job, to produce a quality part.
Right.
Management will push you to, I don't care. No, that's good. Let it go. But the next thing you know, that's how they write your ass up.
Right.
So it took a long time to get people to an understanding or the members to an understanding that scrap is not what you think it is. They always thought that, scrap, that's more overtime repairs. No, scrap can get you rolled up.
Right.
Especially if they think that you're doing it intentionally. Because your job is to run a quality part.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
This whole thing, we said that the job cuts are within the cycle time and the line speed increases, improve the metrics. In other words, less people work harder. Unfortunately, though, the decisions are based on current metrics. It's like, how many extra appointed people do we get out of this?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's this is point blank. This is a freaking scare tactic, okay?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. And I've been doing this a long time, and I can't speak for Ford, I can't speak for Chrysler, but I can't speak for General Motors. They will do whatever the hell they wanna do. If you're stupid enough to give them something while they do it, they'll take it.
Yeah.
And you won't get it back.
Well, they have a history too of when they get their quality up, then they cut jobs. I worked at Pontiac East Assembly for 5 or 6 years, and we were the benchmark for quality in the industry, so they came along and had worked all the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they honestly don't want top quality, because if you're running 100%, it tells them you're not working hard enough. If you're not shipping some repair occasionally, then people don't have enough work on their jobs. They're far more concerned about loading down your cycle time than they are with quality, because for one thing, they know the customer does not care about their internal quality metrics. They care about styling and other issues, and that's
right.
The fallacy of this quality thing. When they started pushing that, it was just a big lie, because the customer does not care about the same things that management measures.
Oh, let me let you in on a secret, because I'm coming right behind you on that, Paul. Let me let you in on a secret. I've been to 5 other plants, and I've visited some other plants on occasion too. And when you go to another plant, that plant is on the whatever plant you're at, that plant is always on the bottom of the list. Because
right.
I've been to another plant where I went to that plant, and my home plant was at the top of the list. Well, I just left a week ago, it was on the bottom.
Right.
You know, all doom and gloom. You guys have got to make more sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, my personal opinion has done the final insult. He needs to go.
Yeah. Well,
that's just my belief, my opinion.
Unfortunately, he's parroting the core beliefs of the upper level of the union.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, that's the real problem. He has the same core beliefs that International Union has.
Yeah.
Speaking
we got
of core beliefs, International. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Don.
We had a Skype number. Now it's gone. Okay, go ahead, JJ.
Have you all heard about the secret? Classified, G-13 classified, top secret meetings that the International is holding again for the constitutional delegate election?
No, I haven't heard that.
Inform us. Enlighten us, please.
Yeah, apparently there's no electronic communication. It's all being done by word of mouth. And they're holding secret meetings again so that they don't have to record any minutes or anything else, and they're coming up with they're encouraging all elected representatives, local presidents, unit chairmen, to all run for constitutional delegates so that they can control the constitutional convention.
Kind of
well,
sounds like Al Qaeda.
They've been doing that for years. Yeah, that's not unusual.
Right.
They don't want rabble rousers there. They don't like people like us.
Well, that's why they're trying to say that we're ineligible to run for international office or even the voting. They're trying to say, you can't vote on anything. And it's like, okay. All I'm going to say about that is please read your Constitution and read it thoroughly on what's being said in that memo.
Right.
Because according to that, it's not true.
Yeah. Well, they hate an enlightened membership, too.
Of course. And they try to discredit you.
Right.
If they can.
Yeah. Or they just won't let you campaign.
Well, they did that. Didn't they do that the last whatever elections they had that you couldn't campaign?
Yeah, they couldn't. We couldn't campaign at local 6:59. It was safe to work elbow to elbow in the plant, but wasn't safe for somebody to stand outside in the open air and hand out a handbill.
That's right.
Yeah.
They even said that at our local that you couldn't campaign on the local grounds either. But yet still, the current caucus was out there campaigning and handing out their literature.
Yeah.
And I just kind of laughed at them.
Yeah.
That's racketeering. That they should be jailed for that.
Well, the UAW Public Review Board determined it was okay.
It was okay for them, but not okay for others.
Well, I don't know if our local leadership stood out there and campaigned or not. I didn't notice anything like that, but basically the Public Review Board said it was okay for them to ban campaigning if we all had the same rules. I mean, I doubt they followed them because I'm sure they were out campaigning inside the plant. We have at least one person that that noted that, but wasn't willing to take a stand on it, with the Department of Labor. These people never cease to plow new ground. Just when you think they're as corrupt as they could possibly be, they do something even more corrupt.
I agree with you on that.
You know, it's just basically... They're like Putin. Putin pushes till he meets resistance, and then he backs off a little bit and comes with another angle.
Mm-hmm.
When they introduced Gary Jones, they had a special leadership conference, and which of course was paid for by our union dues, and they did conduct union business, and at the conclusion of that, you know, they just so happened to introduce Gary Jones and had him speak, and they called. They didn't say he was running or anything like that. They were very careful, but they said, keep an eye out for him. He's an up-and-comer, whatever that means, right? And, well, we found out what that meant, right?
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can't get away with doing that sort of thing anymore. So now they, you know, resorted to their top secret little meeting behind closed doors and don't know transparency, you know, like there's a surprise.
Right.
No transparency and there's scheming behind the backs of the membership. It's absolutely deplorable. These guys are, they're absolutely pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They get more laughable all the time.
Yeah.
When I was elected to the unit board at the Metal Center, I was on the board, and Claire McClinton was elected as the chairman. We were the two rabble-rousers, basically, in the plant. And the chairman used to hold meetings with all the elected and appointed people on company time. Well, we didn't even know anything about it because they didn't invite us. We found out one time. And we showed up at the meeting, and our chairman introduced the caucus's candidates running for delegates. And they spoke, introduced them, and I raised my hand. And I said, you know, I'm Paul Baxter, and I'm running for delegate also. But this is kind of crap they pull, you know. Claire and I should have been invited to the meetings when they had them, but they just didn't bother. But it was pretty comical because I got to introduce myself, and that was when I got elected the first time for delegate. But they pull all kinds of crap. There's absolutely no if you want to use the term sportsmanship or whatever, there's none of that anymore. I mean, there used to be at least a certain level of respect back in the time before we had all the appointees and you had multiple caucuses in a plant. There was respect, and that's completely gone. You know, if you're a rabble rouser who differs with the leadership, they'll screw you every way they can.
We have 15 minutes left. Go ahead, JJ.
I was gonna say I should probably take it as flattery because they're so worried about us that they've got to resort to secret scheming because they're so afraid of the membership. I guess, you know, we probably take that as a compliment.
Did you see that as a memo, or did somebody tell you about that?
No, there's no memo. No communication whatsoever. It's all word of mouth. And, one of the ones that were required to go to the meetings, it was word of mouth.
Okay. Because the last time there was a memo sent out to the executive board at the locals on the last constitution. Because they knew what they were going to do, and they wanted their boys and girls down there to get this.
Well, this time,
they're
trying to be real sneaky about it this time.
Yeah, and they're going to do the same. They're going to do the same thing again because they know that it will form the one member, one vote language will be tackled down there. So.
Well,
hopefully
this will send a clear message to the membership on how much power that they have and that the International is really worried about the membership taking back control of our union. So all we have to do is come together and show up, and we'll put these corrupt, scheming sellouts out the door.
So it's for democracy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Credit union. Woo.
Well, I can't wait to see what other trickery they try to come up with.
Because
I know that they're full of it. They're full of all kinds of trickery.
They're very resourceful.
Okay.
Sky's the limit.
Well, a lot of it is going to be the same old tactics as always. You know, the scare tactics, the slander, misinformation, whisper campaigns, the belittling of anyone who speaks up or speaks out, that they're the only ones who have any education and authority. A lot of it could be the same. But, it's going to be interesting to see what new stuff these weasels come up with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me get Brian on. Brian, I think this is you.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Good evening.
I just wanted to add, no matter what the delegates pass at this convention, really what matters is how the membership's going to vote during the election. If we reform the leadership from the top, then we can come back and we can change any amendments that we deem fit. I mean, so whatever these delegates pass right now, it ain't going to matter if we reform the leadership. We can come back and just redo everything if we have to. So I think what really matters is how the membership's going to vote during the election. If they're going to reform the leadership, get rid of Ray Curry and his entire caucus, whatever they pass at this convention ain't going to matter because that can be changed.
Well, that is a good point, but why do all the extra work? Let's get the good delegates in there that are going to make the good changes that we need prior to getting new leadership, and make it easier on the new leadership to move our union forward and do what we need to do for the next contract to start getting winning contracts and get rid of these tiers of discrimination, as Jim likes to say.
Yep. Well, for one, they're trying to hold on to power as long as they can possibly hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Two, a lot of these people that ran for delegate, again, were reelected from the last time. They're the presidents. They're the chairmen.
Yep.
They already hold a position within the local, and so they got reelected again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's not much you can do about that. I mean, like I said, you cut the head of the snake off, and we come back and educate everybody later, make the necessary constitutional amendments and bylaw changes, and they're gone. But
well,
right now, you know they're going to play trickery all the way up into the election.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you got to paint these people with the right brush. You have to educate the membership for one thing. All of them, except a handful of outspoken local leaders, all of them supported these morons. And really, they still do.
And so I'm not disagreeing, but the membership...
That's why, yeah.
But even the membership supported the same delegates again. They reelected them. So
yeah.
If these delegates were your local president or your chairman, the same people that push these confessionary contracts,
yeah.
The same people that supported Gary Jones and his caucus and the 31% salary increase, why would the membership
right.
reelect the same clowns all over again?
Well, you gotta remind them. You know, like at the 2014 Constitutional Convention, I was the only delegate from Region 1A or 1C and 1D that stood up and voted for Gary Wachowicz against Dennis Williams. And was not Dennis Williams the architect of the multi-tier agreements, and was not he the individual that's got slapped the hardest by the feds?
Mm. Yes.
Yes, he did.
So you just need to remind them that this is what these people supported. Okay? They may put on a pleasant face for you in local elections and whatever, but they supported these pukes right down to a man. None of them had the backbone to stand up and vote for somebody else who was trying to make a difference. And this is what you need to tell people. They need to understand this. You elect these clowns, they're going to go down there and kiss the rear ends of the people that are currently in power. They don't want to change. They're basically servants and vassals, or whatever you call it, for the international union. Not one of them has the backbone at contract time to tell their local membership that the contract's a pile of crap. And they support all the international's policies. And that's why they should not elect them.
Well, I agree with you, but unfortunately, a lot of locals have already had elections, and
yep.
The same
and
people have gotten reelected.
Yeah.
And, you know, you expect this trickery is going to continue all the way up until the election. And so,
sure.
You know, there's not much we can do at this point to stop it. But I know once we reform the leadership at the Solidarity House and get rid of Ray Curry and his caucus, we won't have
yeah.
a problem after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not going to put much into who's the delegate at this point and what gets passed at this convention come July 25th through the 28th. I'm focused
yeah.
on the direct voting and the reformation of the leadership.
Sure.
So you know, once that takes place, anything that got passed at this convention, we can take care of and we can reverse it.
Yeah.
Well, there's still a lot of locals, too, that have elections still coming up. So
that is true.
There is still a little bit of hope for getting some good delegates in there. I'm running for delegate at Local 12 in the Jeep unit. So,
yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are running with me that are outstanding hardcore union members that care about the membership. So there's still some hope for getting good delegates in there to fight, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our hope.
313, you are on. I don't see you no more. You're gone. See ya. All right.
Yeah, our hope is that we can get rid of these yes delegates. I mean, I don't care. You've got to know that this is not right. And so you want to support wrong. That's on you. But by the same token, you have to understand that you're destroying the union membership.
Yeah.
And another thing I'd like to bring up.
That might be the whole thing.
Well, I mean, something the membership needs to remember, and I mean, you think they would remember since they're going through it, with the shortage of semiconductors and other parts, transitioning from combustible engines to electrical vehicles, you know, there's a lot of layoffs happening right now, especially when it comes down to Belvedere. I think Schaff has some layoffs. And some other facilities. I mean, we've seen what happened to Lordstown.
Right.
I mean, you know,
The
membership's got to realize that your local leadership is not in the interest of you. If you guys don't step up and put the right delegates in, the right people on the election committees, and then during the election, reform the leadership there at the Solidarity House, we're going to continue down this path, and you might be the next person on the chopping blocks.
That's correct.
Right. Right.
So you might as well take the gamble and put somebody new in there because you're already losing.
Right.
So what do you got to lose by putting somebody new in there?
Right.
Don't
That's
be scared
right.
of
Go
these people. They're just people like
up.
The rest of us.
Right.
Yeah. Don't give up without a fight. Go down swinging.
That's right.
Was that JJ talking?
Yes.
Yep. Hey, JJ, I got your phone. Just to let you know, I got your phone call, but I happened to be out to dinner with the family, and we got back late. So I'll give you a call when we get done with the show.
All right, cool, brother.
Yep. But, yeah, I mean, the membership had nothing to lose by taking a stand. This is the opportunity. This is going to be the last opportunity. They better take it. If they don't, and we don't get Ray Curry and his carcass out of there, it is what it is. You guys are going to have to deal with the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's got
to happen.
That's just the honest to God truth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can already see that they're trying to, not let the one member, one vote or direct voting. They're trying to sabotage that already.
Right.
You can see that.
Right.
And the majority of the membership, the ones that voted for direct voting, one member, one vote.
Right. Right.
Okay, and so they're going to tell you that you don't want that.
Yeah.
How do they do that when it's a majority vote wins? So otherwise, you don't matter.
Well, they really don't care.
What membership voted for doesn't matter.
Yeah. Leadership doesn't care if we have one man, one vote, as long as we continue to support them. You know, it's...
they do care.
Well, I mean, they don't care how they get elected as long as they get elected. They don't care if they get elected through the corrupt convention system or through direct voting. It doesn't matter to them. They just want to hold on to power.
We'll have to pick this up next week because it's 8 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are we going to do...
Good night, Rabble Rousers.
Memorial Day? Are we going to... What's up? The weekend?
Oh, Memorial Day is not till the end of May.
Oh,
we gotta wait.
We're waiting for you.
It's there.
Don't rush it.
that's a month away.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't rush that. You're trying to rush me to get to be the same age as you are.
I know. It's lonely here at 67. Okay. My God, I thought it was May. It's hell getting old, you know that?
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Okay, kids. Be safe.
Have a good week, everybody.
Yeah. All right, take care.
If you like it,
see you next Sunday.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.